So we've come to the end of another church year. A church year that we both have.
I'm troubled with our sound system. Now am I. And as we look to the next church year, why should we be here in worship? I'd just like to use a balloon to illustrate that. You know, a balloon without an air in it doesn't look very impressive, but... I didn't stretch this one. I had two of them, one in my pocket and one... There you go. Got to make it stretched. You know, I could keep blowing up this balloon for about a minute. The trouble is, I found out that at about a minute, it gets to be about this big, and then it pops. Now, what's a balloon have to do with the end of one church year and the beginning of a next? The balloon can help us understand why God invites us to keep coming home week after week after week. You see, the balloon, when it's filled with air, gets larger and larger. And that's God's desire for us. That as we keep coming home to worship week after week after week, that Jesus gets bigger and bigger and bigger in our eyes. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing in our lesson for today. He is writing to the Christians in Colossae, a city that is in what today we call Turkey. And the Christians there were thinking that maybe Jesus isn't enough, that maybe they need something more than just Jesus to overcome the darkness in the world around them. And so Paul, in this letter, makes Jesus bigger and bigger in the eyes of the Colossians. And we'll see that that is God's goal as we gather together for worship, that Jesus gets bigger and bigger in our eyes so that we recognize that if we have Jesus, we have all that we need. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 20. Paul writes, "For he, God the Father, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." This is where he's starting to make Jesus bigger and bigger in the eyes of the Colossians. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy." He's making Jesus bigger and bigger. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him." This is a concept that Paul talks about a lot in Colossians. Three times he says that God has caused all his fullness to dwell in Jesus. In other words, everything that makes God, God, is in Jesus, that he is almighty like God, that he is present everywhere like God, that he is eternal like God, that he is God just as the Father and the Spirit are God. All the fullness dwells in him. Why? Verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says that God the Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time believing that sometimes. It just seems like the dominion of darkness is so very clear and prevalent. I can see that without any help. For example, this week I'm reading a book about a refugee camp in Kenya. 500,000 people living in the middle of a desert, being fed by the UN and by the United States because of civil war in Somalia. This refugee camp has been there since 1991. What's wrong with this world? Darkness. Warfare. It's there. I can see it. Or maybe you saw this headline in the paper this past week. A serious epidemic, parent anti-bullying advocates speak out after second Greenfield High School suicide. In 6 weeks, two young people in one high school took their own life. Doesn't it seem like the dominion of darkness is so powerful and overwhelming? This week is another week where I have heard of couples who are struggling, who are breaking the marriage bond. And this week, I was present when the family found a good friend of mine called home to heaven. You see, the dominion of darkness is evident. It grows and grows. But that's not even the worst part. The worst part is I see the dominion, the power of darkness in my own heart. Anger welling up, bitterness, gossip. And that's in a church meeting. The dominion of darkness is present in every one of our hearts. And that gets bigger and bigger in our eyes. But the bigger the dominion of darkness gets in our eyes, the more we understand the power of Satan in this world and in our own lives, the more we appreciate that our God has promised that we are rescued from the dominion of darkness. Let's read this verse again. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What is the key to that rescue from the power and the control of the darkness around us? We could say forgiveness is the key. If we are forgiven, then we are rescued. But what's interesting is Paul does not blow up the idea of forgiveness in the following verses. He takes a step back and says that for us to have forgiveness, we need to see the Son. And so what he does is he expands our view of the Son so that Jesus gets larger and larger in our eyes, so that we can have certainty that he is large enough to overcome the darkness that we see around us. So, why come home? Why do we gather for worship? You can say, oh, Pastor, I've heard it all before. I'll hear the same thing next week. I don't need to be here. You don't need to be here if the dominion of darkness isn't present in your life and in the world around you. But if the dominion of darkness is present, if you see the power of sin in our own lives, then we need to see something that cannot be seen with these eyes. We need to see something that can only be seen by faith. And faith comes by hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. And that's what we're going to do in the next church year that begins next Sunday. We are going to let our God make Jesus bigger and bigger and bigger. Paul says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. How did God choose to make himself visible so that we could know that our God is in control? He sent his Son to be his representative, his image, something that we could see. And one of the blessings of our church body is that we celebrate the church year, where we see Jesus get bigger and bigger through the church year. In fact, one of the blessings of our congregation is that we see the church year in the windows around us, starting with Advent and going all the way around to Trinity Sunday. And so let the King grow larger and larger in your eyes through the prophecies of Advent. The Apostle Paul said he is the firstborn of all creation. The firstborn in the Old Testament was the one who would be appointed king. He is the one who is king of the universe. And that kingship was proclaimed over and over again in the Old Testament. It began in the Garden of Eden. It continues as King David is raised up and God promises, I'm going to send you a king like King David, that his name will be the Lord, our righteousness, in Jeremiah 23. Darkness grows larger when Satan can cause questions in our minds during Advent. Let's go back and see those prophecies and recognize that this book is a unique book, a book filled with prophecy and fulfillment, that he is the king that our God promised and who will come again. Let's let the king grow larger in the glory of the Christmas season. The Apostle Paul wrote, for in him, in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The whole society around us celebrates Christmas, but what is unique about coming home to this place to celebrate Christmas is we see the glory of Christmas, not just a cute baby, but that God himself is in that child, that the creator of the whole world is held in Mary's arms. You don't need to be here to celebrate Christmas if darkness is growing smaller and smaller in the world around you. But if you see the power and dominion of darkness, then let's come on home and see the King grow larger and the glory of our God revealed in Christmas. Then we'll go on into the Epiphany season. And we'll let the King grow larger in our eyes as we see his power at work. Paul wrote, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The Epiphany season is the season of the year that we see so many of the miracles that Jesus performed. Why are those miracles so important? It reassures us he really is the all-powerful king that he claims to be, but it also assures us that he is the one who is intimately in control of the world around us. He is the one who can hear our prayers and answer them. The disciples, after Jesus calms the sea, says, "Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him." If you are being pressed in by the power of darkness in your own life and in the world around you, then let's come on home all the way through the Epiphany season and let the King grow larger and larger in our eyes through his power that is at work for us. And then let's step into the season of Lent and let the mercy of our God grow larger and larger in our eyes. Paul wrote, "And he is the head of the body, the church." I don't know about you, but if I hit my thumb with a hammer, my head doesn't go, "Too bad." My head's kind of involved in my body, you know? How about yours? When you are in pain, when you're struggling with the incredible burden of guilt, does the head care? He is the head and we are the body. When we suffer, the Savior says, "I am willing to suffer for you." Let's come on home week after week during Lent and let the King grow larger and larger in our eyes as we see his incredible mercy taking on our pain so that we might live with him forever. And then let's celebrate the certainty of Easter. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Let's come on home. This is the place where we interrogate the witnesses year after year. We ask those witnesses, the witnesses that are recorded in the gospel, and then the written witnesses, we cross-examine them over and over again. Is it really true? Did Jesus come forth from that grave? If he came forth from that grave, then he is the firstborn of all the dead. Then not even death, as powerful as death is, can separate us from our God, that we too shall rise victorious from the grave. You don't have to come if you don't see the power of death present in your life. But if you do, let's come on home week after week and let the certainty of Easter cause the King to grow larger and larger in our eyes, that he has conquered death. And let's gather together to celebrate the Ascension. Now, I should just explain, if you've never seen that Ascension window, what is that? That's the flaming chariot. The prophet Elijah was taken up into heaven in a flaming chariot. He ascended into heaven, and so the church uses the flaming chariot as a symbol of Jesus' ascension to sit at the right hand of God, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Let's come on home and recognize and celebrate that he sits as king over all, that all power and authority has been given to him, that he can cause all things to work together for our good. If you never have trouble come into your life, if you don't have evil pressing in on you, then you don't have to come. But if you see the power of darkness pressing in on you, then let's come. Let's come on home and celebrate the protection that our King can give. And then I'm going to jump ahead to the Trinity window. Let the King grow larger in the unity of the Trinity. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. When trouble comes into your life, when you start to wonder, does God really care about me? Is God really reconciled to me? Or is he my enemy? Then let's come on home and celebrate that Jesus is fully God, just as the Father and the Holy Spirit are fully God. And that if we see that Jesus cared for sinners like us, when we see that he had compassion on Mary and Martha, and he was filled with anxiety, or filled his soul was troubled because their brother died. If he wept at the grave of Lazarus, that you and I have a God who is not our enemy, because Jesus is God in unity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is not your enemy. He died for you. And then let's come on home and join together in a common ministry of the Spirit. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Reconcile means to make people who are enemies into friends. That God made us who were his enemies into his friends. Because Jesus' blood is not just the blood of a man. He's the blood. It's the blood of the God who has become larger and larger in our eyes. Come on home. I'll be honest, this past week, I certainly saw the power of death. Two good friends of mine called home to heaven. Two more, probably pretty close. And at those times, Jesus can seem pretty small. And you're going to have those times and days too. But it was my privilege, as I mentioned on Wednesday night, to be in the home where God called my brother in Christ home. And I recognized, as that family talked to me, that Jesus had grown larger and larger in their eyes. So that even as they saw the death of their husband and father, that darkness didn't win. That Jesus was so large in their eyes that even in that place, Jesus is victorious. That's why we come home. Some days, we may not see the dominion of darkness very clearly. Some days, we will just enjoy incredible blessings from God. But that doesn't mean the darkness has gone away. And Jesus doesn't grow larger and larger in our eyes by just hearing about him once in a while. The church here is planned for us to see him grow in our eyes. So let's come on home. And let's think about the people around us who are experiencing the dominion of darkness in their lives right now. And as Jesus has grown larger in your eyes, you recognize this is the answer. Not that we're going to be free from all the pain and sorrow, but ultimately the answer is knowing that Jesus is the victorious King, and someday we will see him reigning on his throne. So who among your friends is just overwhelmed by that dominion of darkness? Why don't you come on home and invite them to come home with you? Amen.